Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
23 minutes after 7. At this time, we get into one of those very interesting interviews that we usually have. Today, we're going to be looking at the topic of equity and the differently abled. And joining us this morning is someone who will be representing the Blind Welfare Association. And that is a council member. Let's welcome her to our program, Sephra Hastic. Good morning to you and welcome to our show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning. And it's promising to be a pretty interesting discussion. But as we do with some of our guests, I'm going to give you the opportunity to familiarize our listeners with you. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of what got you into where you are at this point in time.
Okay, well, my name is Sephra Hastic, and I am visually impaired, and I'm also a council member of the Blind Welfare Association. I'm also a BSc in political science because politics interests me. And it is with that regard that I got into the Blind Welfare Association as a council member, because I want to help people just like me. You know, those young persons or even older ones who are visually impaired and may not know the next steps to take to live an independent life.
It was nice to have you with us. And you're a shining example of, regardless of impediments that you face, there is still the ability for persons to achieve and to excel. But let's start explaining a bit. What is the Blind Welfare Association? What's their mandate? What they're about?
Well, we are an association where we try to engage persons who are visually impaired in order to live an independent, fulfilling life despite their visual impairment. We also like to give information on preventing blindness, because it's not just about coping with blindness, it's also about preventing blindness, so your regular checkups, etc. And we also teach skills like orientation and mobility for those who have visual impairments and may want to venture out on their own. We also have educational events so that we could educate the public on how to treat those who are visually impaired, you know?
What's the statistic, if you have the information, on how prevalent visual impairment issues are amongst the population?
Well, I don't have the statistics at hand, but it is very prevalent.
Okay. So let's get a bit more into the Blind Welfare Association. And you said it's about helping people, preventing persons from going through that and as much as is possible. What are some of the programs that you're involved in?
Well, some of the programs we tend to do include, like I mentioned, the orientation and mobility. We have welfare officers that try to socialize persons into coping with blindness. We also have different hampers at different times of the year, depending on persons' needs. We also partner with the Ministry of Social Development in different projects. So it's a wide range of projects.
Okay. I'm looking at the information sent in here, and there's some focus on women and the progress that women have made in helping women treat with some of these issues. Let's focus on that a bit. Women who have visual impairment issues here at home and opportunities for them, what's the situation?
Well, in terms of opportunities, it's very limited, especially when you're looking at something like employment, because the employment rates in the visually impaired community and the disabled community on a whole is very low. So that kind of interferes with the visually impaired woman's ability to be financially secure, which is very important in these times.
What needs to be done?
I think education, first of all, get persons qualified. And then we need to provide opportunities for those persons to gain employment in the public and private sector.
What kind of opportunities?
Well, I would say job opportunities, get them qualified, because a lot of persons who are visually impaired, they don't bother to go to get an education because they think that it's out of their reach. But I think if we put things in place, they could go to school, get qualified, and perhaps get employment opportunities in various companies. You know, Visual impairment doesn't mean that you don't have certain skills that you could use.
What opportunities exist for education now?
Well, I would, in terms of education, I think we should go through the normal school system and just put things in place within the school system to facilitate us so that we could have that experience, and also it would teach the public to be a little more sensitive to our needs and issues. And I think from a young age, if persons are exposed to those who are differently able, it would be a lot easier to integrate them into society.
Okay, but do we have schools now? Are women able to access these schools? Do we need more? What's going on? I mean, I'm trying to get a sense from you of what's the situation. You know, is the situation bad? Do we have opportunities? Do we not? What are some of the things we need to deal with?
We do have opportunities, but it could be better.
Okay, tell me about some of the opportunities. Tell me about some of the opportunities that exist. Let's just say people, I have a child who's visually impaired. Where do I go as a parent to start the process of educating her?
Well, you could come to the Blind Welfare Association and we could give you advice and counseling, and we could get you entered into the school system. I mean, right in my area, Sangre Grande, I think there's like one person who's visually impaired who's attending high school. With the advice of the Blind Welfare, like, we tell the school what needs to be put in place for the student to have a good education.
Okay, so one of the things I see here is achieving gender equity. What does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, gender equity is extremely important to me as a woman, but especially as a visually impaired woman, because I think it tends to be a lot more difficult when you're visually impaired and a woman. For example, just something simple as security. A blind man, yes, he does have a security risk in walking the street, but I think a blind woman has that extra risk.
And what more do you think we need to do?
I think we need to educate the public on how to treat for persons who are visually impaired and differently abled, so that we could be our neighbor's keeper, you know?
Let's take a couple messages and we'll be right back. We invite some calls as we continue to speak about this issue here this morning. Equity and the differently able with our guest, Sephra Hastic, Council Member of the Blind Welfare Association. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Our special guest this morning, Council Member of the Blind Welfare Association, Sephra Hastic. Let's take a couple of your calls, 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to your honored guest, Mrs. Hastic. I'm calling from Princeton. And Satish, I want to support and acknowledge and congratulate Ms. Hastic on her achievements and her work with the Blind Welfare Association, being a university graduate, and her advocacy for not only women, but for the disabled community generally. As you know, we are poised in a very important situation here at the Blind Welfare, Satish and listeners. And I would want to encourage persons, citizens who may have children and so on with visual impairment to get in touch with the Blind Welfare Association urgently, because we are partnering with the Ministry of Education and all government departments and so on in terms of education, because of technology and so on, the IT with the speech program and with the computers and so on, it is much easier now for somebody who is blind or visually impaired to access education from primary straight up to tertiary education at university and so on. So it is very important. We must have that education, and then we'll talk about employment and social development, et cetera, et cetera. But education is the key factor. And of course, we are working hard to lobby for legislation and policy and so on, so that the whole social and the climate and the infrastructure will be in place to facilitate that social and economic ability through education and employment for not only blind women, but blind persons generally throughout Trinidad and Tobago and the disabled community. So Ms. Hastic is doing a very good job. I want to commend her and encourage her to continue to be a voice for not only the women in Trinidad and Tobago, but the wider disabled community who we need. Notwithstanding all the confusion in the society, Satish, we must remember that 10% or more of our population has a disability, and we have to cater and provide facilities, et cetera, for this section of our community. No citizen should be left behind. Thank you very much, Princess Tong.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's take another call. Have a good morning.
Good morning, station callers. Prima here. I just said Sasha good morning to Princess Tong too. And I want to wish that you, this project that you just announced here, that you all, you know, you get through and you reach the highest height so you can reach for the visually impaired people, because I know you have been working with them for a long time and you're a very consistent and certain topics and so on, and you continue to show your willingness to support the less unfortunate and so on. So I'm wishing you on this project and the others success. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call. For those of you who would like to join us, the phones are open, and of course you can send your messages to 3061065 as we continue our conversation. And Ms. Hastick, tell us about your personal journey through education as somebody who is visually impaired. And there was a story recently internationally, I can't remember which country, where a mother had a daughter who was visually impaired and was studying law. And the mother would go to class with the child and would help her with the work and would study with her and everything else. And the mother was given an honorary law degree as a result of the work that she did with the child. What was your experience like?
Well, my experience is very similar to that. When I first got into UWE, I was really nervous because I'm visually impaired. The campus is huge and I didn't know how to go about. So my mom used to come with me almost every day and take me to different classes. So she probably should have gotten an honorary political science degree. But within those few weeks, she really taught me how to move about independently. And after that, I started to move around on my own. Now, it was still difficult. I needed to put twice as much effort into classes as a regular person. And, you know, classes would end at night sometimes, which would be extra difficult for me because there's that safety aspect. Sometimes you're walking on lonely parts of campus and, you know, around that time you would hear different stories about persons getting robbed, etc. So that had me very anxious. But thankfully, with these systems in place, I was able to get through it well. There's a department on campus that specifically deals with persons who are differently abled as well. So in terms of exams, they facilitated me quite well. So I think my experience was a good one. Was it perfect? No, but it was a good one.
You have, and I'm just trying to get a sense, I don't know, this might be a question that's prying too much. Your disability, is it full visually impaired, partially? What is it?
It's partially. It's called retinitis pigmentosa, which is like a long word, but we say ROP for short. So I have partial vision. It's worse at night, which is why the night classes and going out at night in general is kind of difficult for me.
What is the prevalence of visual disability amongst our young people trying to get into school?
I don't think it's as prevalent, but there are definitely cases that there are persons who are young and visually impaired. When I was going UWE, I think I was the only person, at least that I could remember, who was visually impaired attending classes at the time. Because you see, a lot of persons who are visually impaired, they are scared to be bullied, so they wouldn't even bother to go to school. And I get that, though, because bullying is a real issue.
Is it a situation, because Princess Town spoke about 10% of the population being visually impaired, do we have a situation where the majority of these cases are born visually impaired, or is it a case of we have onset later on in life with lifestyle diseases like diabetes and glaucoma and all these other things contributing to that 10%?
A lot of that 10% is persons who are older, so that it's an onset type of thing, which is why the Blind Welfare Association is very vocal about preventing blindness through lifestyle changes and whatnot. But a lot of that are people who are older. But there are persons who are younger who are visually impaired, but they don't necessarily know how to deal with it. So it's a very touchy subject for them. Mm. And I can say that because it was for me as well.
I could just imagine. I remember in my television days, I had done some pieces about about eyesight and persons losing their eyesight. Now, it's one thing to be born blind and not know what vision is. And it's a totally different ball game to lose your vision or to lose elements of your vision as you grow older in life. I mean, I remember doing this story and telling people, close your eyes and imagine this is what your life is like. Just having to work with the sounds around you to navigate everything. And this is the reality of a person who's visually impaired. I know that there's been a lot of work. The Blind Welfare Association has been reaching out to us on the program here for quite some time. What kind of support does the Blind Welfare Association get from the state first and then from corporate TNT and from regular citizens?
Well, a large part of our funding comes from the state, so we have that financial support. And in terms of the corporate part of TNT, we also have some financial support, some technical support. So the support has been brief.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Jelly Satish, calling from Karen here. I want to just say something on the program there with reference to retinitis pigmentosa. I have been diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa for many years, and one of the things with retinitis pigmentosa is that you could wake up one morning and just go blind just like that. Now, with my situation, I have had this, and what it normally is that for some people it might be different. In my case, it was where they found some scars on the retina, some scorches, like, you know, if something were burned. And, well, they diagnosed it as, you know, maybe like a generation skip. And, you know, sometimes people could get that. But what is going on right now is that there is a retina center that is being set up in Cuba. And they're doing a lot of extensive research on retinitis pigmentosa. They haven't found a cure yet for it. But they are doing research. So what the young lady is saying there with retinitis pigmentosa, I mean, in my case, at night it's easier for me. But during the day, it's harder because of the glare and things like that. Now, my driving, I think I stopped driving maybe about since 2010. So, you know, I could understand. So I endorse her situation there, you know. This is how it would be sometimes. It could be different with other people as well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. And that's the case with retinitis pigmentosa. It differs based on different people.
Okay. Somebody asking a question, is the School for the Blind in Santa Cruz fully functional?
It's at a different location now, but yes, it is functional.
Okay, so the persons who are listening in to us and would, okay, let's save that question for after this call. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. Okay, the person called and they're not answering. I'm not too sure if you're not hearing us, so we're definitely not hearing you. Try us back on 627-322-3625-2257. The person's listening to us who feel that they need to speak to the Blind Welfare Association or come in and get some guidance, some counseling, some assistance. How do they go about doing that?
Well, they can come in to us in Port of Spain. And we also have numbers. I don't have it offhand, but I can make it available to you after the program, so you could probably distribute it to those who maybe need.
Okay. As we wrap up our interview here this morning, if I were to say to you, Sefra Hastik, here's what. I'm giving you the ability, the power, to deal with some of the things that you think need to be dealt with immediately, to assist persons with visual disabilities and to make sure that they have a greater access to things and an easier life or access to things that would make their life easier. What are some of the things you'd like to address?
Well, one of the most important things, I think, is dealing with the disability grant. Now, I think it's very important because it provides some sense of financial security, but it's set up in a way where you depend on it. So, for example, if you receive the grant, you can't work because the minute you make, I think, more than $1,000 a month, you get it cut. And for somebody who is disabled or visually impaired, job security is not that secure. So one minute you may be employed, the next minute you're not. And I know that that's the situation for everyone these days, but especially for persons who are differently abled. So what incentive is it for us to receive a grant, but that anxiety or that fear of losing it if we are employed? So that would be one of the things that I would deal with. I would also deal with just providing more job opportunities, because, you know, we have different skills. Persons could work in call centers, persons like me who did political science. We could get involved in politics and local government. I know Mr. Francis Tong was a very successful counselor for years. So I think I would definitely work on that as well. And I would work on the public's perception of the visually impaired. You know, we are not that vulnerable. You know, we are capable of being independent, and we are people at the end of the day. So I think those would be the top things I would work on.
Yeah. Let's see, we have a final call to wrap up our interview. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning, Ms. Astik, and good morning to the listeners of Freedom 106.5. I called just now and the call dropped for some reason, but I just wanted to compliment Ms. Hastick on her development and her advocacy as someone who is blind, and the work she's doing as a young member of the Council of the Blind Welfare Association. She's a testimony to the trust of the association to develop the next generation of leadership within the association, persons who are educated, persons who are articulate, persons who desire empowerment and independence. So I just want to compliment Ms. Astik and urge her to continue her development, continue her work as an advocate for young persons, for women, for persons who are blind, and the community of persons with disabilities in general. And definitely, as she develops, she will continue to establish herself in the leadership of the Blind Welfare Association and in the community of persons who are disabled. So, congratulations, Ms. Astik, and continue your development and growth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call. This is where we drop the curtains. A final question sent into our WhatsApp, one saying, does the Blind Welfare Association have offices outside of Port of Spain, as it may be a challenge for persons from far-reaching parts of the country to get into Port of Spain?
Well, it depends on the area that you're in. If it's south, we have the San Fernando branch. But we also have welfare officers that go into certain areas. So it all depends upon your area and your interest. Just reach out to us and we would make it happen.
Yeah. We want to thank you so much for being with us here this morning. An interesting conversation. And I know that there's a lot more work to be done when it comes to sensitizing the nation and our decision makers as well into some of the challenges of the differently abled amongst us, not just those who have issues with their vision, but we have so many other groupings that need to get, you know, some sort of attention so that their concerns would be highlighted, and probably we might go a long way in addressing them. Sefra Hasik, thank you so much for being with us here this morning.
Thank you so much for giving me this platform. I really appreciated it.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.